Hour number two, talk some NFL football this hour. The Green Bay Packers, I think when you look at that division, we had Paul Allen on to talk about the Vikings a day ago, but anytime you've got Aaron Rodgers, you have got a chance to be pretty good. That's how talented he is. Now, Green Bay did not win the division a year ago. They were 10-6. They lost uncharacteristically, you know, divisional home games. And, you know, I still think Minnesota and Green Bay are the top two teams in the division. Like all teams, there are some question marks on this team. Jordy Nelson is still on the PUP list. As a matter of fact, there was no news on that. Mike McCarthy said it's status quo, so there's no imminent return for Jordy Nelson. Also, Ty Montgomery, Corey Lindsey, and Sam Barrington on that as well. This team has a chance to be one of those teams playing in the NFC Championship game. That I think when you look at the NFC, there are, you know, two teams in the NFC West that I think you could see playing for the NFC Championship game, Arizona and Seattle. I mean, I think when you look at the NFC North, I would put Minnesota and Green Bay in that category. When I look at the NFC South, I would put Carolina in that category. In the NFC East, I would put two of the four teams, probably Washington and the Giants. I don't know how Dallas is going to stop anybody, and I still think they have an issue with their quarterback. But, I mean, to me, I'm looking at the NFC, and I think the top teams, again, are the same teams that were the top teams a year ago. I really do. You know, I think Seattle's a little better than people thought. The problem with Seattle, they've got all new starters on the offensive line. They don't spend a lot of money on their line, or at least they haven't. Matter of fact, the Seahawks have the lowest payroll of any team in the NFL for their five offensive linemen. They spent less on their five offensive linemen than any other team in the National Football League. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, they won't be good. Tom Cable is the offensive line coach up there, and I had Warren Moon on the Hall of Famer a couple of days ago, and that's the real key, you know, whether or not that line is going to come together. Now, they do have a mobile quarterback, so that's good. Whereas in Arizona, we know that they've got a tremendous defense. We know that they can, you know, throw and catch. You know, they've got tremendous wideouts when you're talking about Larry Fitzgerald. Carson Palmer needs to prove to me, and I'm sure others, that he can play well in big games, which I'm still waiting for. So that would be an issue. Carolina loses Josh Norman, their shutdown corner, who's now with the Washington Redskins. But they have Luke Kuechly. And I think Luke Kuechly is the best player in the National Football League on that side of the field. I think Luke Kuechly is the best player in the National Football League that plays defense. You know, I put him at number one. That guy is, he's a flat-out difference maker. And I think anytime he's on the field, your defense is going to be good. He has an amazing impact on the team. When I look at the Packers, you know, and I look at their schedule, they start off playing on the road at Jacksonville, which I don't think is going to be an easy game. I really don't. First of all, very often that becomes a weather issue where it's hot and humid and you come from, you know, Lambeau, where, you know, it's very nice and you get on a plane and you get into the thick air in Jacksonville if it's one of those days. Don't ever discount that. Then all of a sudden you go to Minnesota Sunday Night Football to open up their stadium. So, I mean, it's not, and I hate this bye week for Green Bay. They have a bye week in week four. I mean, that's like, you might as well not even have a bye week. That's just awful. Now, I look at their last four games for Green Bay. Seattle at home, at Chicago, Minnesota at home, and at Detroit. That's the meat of their schedule right there. So if you want to talk about the Packers, you can do so at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Wayne Larrivee will be coming on in just a couple of moments, but this it's just odd having a bye week in week four. It really is. But as I said, if you have Aaron Rodgers and he's your quarterback, you've got a chance to be pretty darn good. Now, I talked with Aaron on this radio show about 3 weeks ago. We talked about, you know, the disappointment of last year. He's probably in the best shape that he's ever been in because he's changed his diet. He is 100% dialed in to the Green Bay Packers and everything that they're doing. The question is, you know, will Jordy Nelson, will he be the guy that can come back and be, you know, the pitch and catch guy for Aaron Rodgers? So we're going to talk about the Packers. If you want to talk about the Raiders, the 49ers, obviously, please do so as they're in training camp. You know, there's going to be some personnel moves in the National Football League. Don't be surprised if tomorrow the Cowboys announce that they've signed Nick Foles. I know that, you know, Minnesota is also, you know, looking at Nick Foles. So that is something that I think helps Dallas if they're able to sign Nick Foles, because to me, he's a much better option than Kellen Moore. I don't know how Dallas could go into the season with Kellen Moore as your backup. That makes no sense at all. It really doesn't. So I think if they are able to sign Foles, they're in better situation right there. All right, as we mentioned, the Green Bay Packers coming off a 10-6 year, hoping to get Jordy Nelson back on the field here in the near future. Always great to talk to the outstanding voice of the Green Bay Packers, Wayne Larrivee. Wayne, it's Grant Napier. How are you?
Great to hear your voice, Grant. Nice to talk to you.
It's always good to hear your voice too, Wayne. You know, before we even get going here, I was looking at some of the Twitter pictures the other night for the open practice in the evening at Lambeau Field, and I'm just blown away, Wayne, at, you know, 60-plus thousand people showing up to watch the Packers practice. That's amazing to me.
Yeah, it is, and it's become a tradition for that practice, that evening practice. And what's nice about it, Grant, is that, you know, they reduce the ticket price. It's a family-type affair, and people who don't get to go to Lambeau Field during the regular season or even the preseason get a chance to see Lambeau Field, and that's a great experience.
You know, Wayne, Aaron Rodgers is obviously maybe the best quarterback in football, and if he's not, he's at least in the conversation. And listen, he's had a tremendous career. I had him on the radio 3 weeks ago when we were up at Lake Tahoe for the Celebrity Golf Tournament, and he just seemed different to me. I mean, his body looks great. He went over the diet that he's been on and how prepared he is, and almost like, you know, last year left a really bad taste in his mouth with a 10-6 record, all the divisional losses at home. I mean, is there any difference in Aaron Rodgers this year, or is it just too early to even tell that?
Grant, I can't really tell a whole lot. I think Aaron is who he is, and you know, I'd like to say he has renewed this, that, or the other thing, but, you know, quite frankly, he brings a tremendous attitude and work ethic to camp every year. So I haven't noticed anything different with him, but, you know, the thing is, I think he's intent, as well as the entire offense, to put the pieces back together and get that passing game back into the top 10.
Wayne, are Packer fans, or should they, if they're not, nervous at all about Jordy Nelson still being on the PUP list? I mean, it's only August 3rd, so, I mean, I don't want to panic just yet, but is it possible that this could be a little worse than they're letting on?
Well, I don't think so. I just think they're being cautious with him. You know, he tweaked the other knee. It's more, from what I understand, it's a tendonitis thing.
Gotcha.
Than anything else. So it's not anything you're going to have to correct with surgery. You know, quite frankly, I think that if they were in the regular season, he'd probably be playing. But the fact is they're not, and they're not going to hurry him along. You know, the only concern is, granted, if they would, you know, I would think they want to get him on the field second or third preseason game with Aaron in the offense, because you just can't duplicate that in practice. And I think that would be important to get
sure.
him some reps in the offense in a game before they go to Jacksonville for the opening week of the season.
Every team's got question marks at this time of the year. When you look at this Packers squad, what are one or two of the question marks that stand out to you?
Well, I think in the interior of their defensive front seven, they've got a lot of building blocks on the outside, both on the line and at linebacker. Their concern is on the interior, and they've got a lot of young players that are playing those roles right now. And can they be solid in the interior of that defensive front seven? Because that's going to be a big key to this season, I think. And that's really it. Secondary, they're great. outstanding at outside linebacker. The defensive ends are very good, but I think where they're going to need some help is where the question mark lies, not help, but question mark lies with young players, starting with Kenny Clark at nose tackle, going into that young linebacking core. Blake Martinez, the rookie out of Stanford, who's looked very good as a third linebacker, as a nickel linebacker in this defense. And also, you know, you take a look at Jake Ryan, the second-year linebacker out of Michigan, got a lot of exposure last year, and he's going to have to play again this year. There's no doubt about that.
Wayne Larrivee, the voice of the Green Bay Packers, joining us here on the Grant Napier Show. You mentioned Jacksonville a moment ago, and I think they're a team that's ascending. And I'll tell you what else, Wayne, you've done this a long time. I always look at those games in Florida, you know, to start off the year. And, you know, you can get down there and it can be muggy and the air can be thick and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, we don't know what the forecast is going to be on Sunday, September 11th. But then you open up the new stadium in Minnesota the next week. That's a very interesting two-week start for the Packers.
Yeah, it really is. I think it's a challenging one. Jacksonville is one of those teams that I think will rise up. You know, the NFL has two or three teams a year that you don't really think about that all of a sudden get into the playoff mix. I think Jacksonville is on the cusp.
Yep.
I think the Oakland Raiders are another team. Will Jacksonville be ready to beat a team of the caliber of Green Bay opening week? Maybe not. They've got so many new pieces going into the defense, especially, that I'm not sure they're going to be ready to beat the Packers. But I guarantee you, by God willing, and that means if they're healthy, by October, Jacksonville is going to be a load.
I agree. Wayne, before I let you go, for the fans that don't know, before the Packers, you were the voice of the Bears, and Brett Favre going into the Hall of Fame on Saturday. When I say Brett Favre's name, you say what?
Gunslinger. And I was privileged to be able to broadcast half of the games in his career. I mean, he was just an all-time great. And the personality he played with was his personality as a person. So, you know, he was just a great character and a great guy, and a tremendous quarterback. And along with Reggie White, they revived this historic franchise in Green Bay after close to a quarter century, you know, in mediocrity.
And when he left Green Bay, I mean, I heard all the stories up there, and I remember talking to Aaron. You know, he would get booed going onto the practice field when Brett left. I mean, it was really bad. And now, you know, Brett got booed, and we get that. But that's all in the past. I mean, it was nice the ceremony, even though it was pouring rain. I mean, Bart Starr is Bart Starr, but Brett Favre, I got to believe the people up in Green Bay will always love him.
Oh yeah, no question about it. Yeah, the split up, the messy divorce as it was in 2008, that was tough on everybody involved, from the fans to the organization to Brett himself. But in the end, you know, we all knew that time would heal that wound, and it finally has in all respects. And so, you know, I think people are excited that Brett Favre goes in as the 24th Green Bay Packer to enter the Canton Hall of Fame.
Wayne, the Vikings, are they the biggest threat, in your opinion, to the Green Bay Packers winning the division?
Well, I think they're the team to beat, Grant. And the thing about the Vikings, the only way they can step to the next level is if their quarterback ascends, and it appears he's that kind of a player. I mean, this is why Seattle's the top team in the league right now. Their quarterback continues to ascend, and they're changing from a ball control running offense to a relying on defense to an offense that now can carry the day with a great quarterback. I think Minnesota's in the same boat. They're rock solid on the ground. They are a very good defense. Now if their quarterback can step up and make them complement that ground game with a passing attack that is lethal, Minnesota has a chance to step to the next level. They're the number one threat in the division of the Packers.
All right, last thing. Other than Lambeau Field, what's the best place to call a game?
That's a good question, because everything takes a back seat to Lambeau Field. I would say Denver, because of the crowd and the intensity of the crowd there. It's a great venue.
Wayne, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Have a great year.
Okay, Grant. Good talking to you.
Same there. That's Wayne Larrivee, the voice of the Green Bay Packers. I think I got him just in time. It sounded like his phone was going dead. So good timing right there. If you want to chime in on anything else with the Pack, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, I think the final four games, Seattle at home, at Chicago, home Minnesota, at Detroit. But that's a very interesting way to end the season for the Green Bay Packers. They got the NFC East this year. They've got the Giants and the Cowboys in back-to-back home games. They've got the Giants on Sunday Night Football on the 9th of October. Then they have the Cowboys at home the following Sunday. They play at Washington on the 20th of November. And then the following week, Monday Night Football at Philadelphia. They've got the AFC South opening up at Jacksonville. They have Indianapolis at home on Sunday, November 6th. Then the following week, they're at Tennessee on the 13th. And they have a home game against Houston on Sunday, December 4th. So they've got the NFC East. They've got the AFC South and a Minnesota week two to open up their stadium. So that's your take on the Green Bay Packers. We're going to continue to preview teams around the National Football League. I want to give you a taste on everything that's going on in the NFL. Charlie Casserly of the NFL Network will be coming up at 5 o'clock. 6 o'clock, we'll talk with Jimmy Durkin, the Raiders beat writer, for the Bay Area News Group. So we got a lot of great things going on today, talking a lot about the Olympics in hour number one, talking a lot about what's going on in the NFL. The Cowboys are talking with Nick Foles now that Kellen Moore he's out for the year. I mean, 3 to 4 months, he's out for the year. So I can't imagine that he's in the picture for this year at all. You got to feel bad for that guy. Young quarterback backing up Tony Romo, and now ankle surgery today, and he is out for 3 to 4 months, which he's out for the year. All right? All right, let's get to Eric. Hello, Eric.
Hey, Grant, this is Eric. I was just wondering if you think the Packers have a potential to be a top-five defense this year.
Top-five defense? Probably not. I mean, right off the get-go, Denver and Carolina have the two best defenses in football, and then Arizona. I think that there's I think as Wayne Larrabee just said, you know, I think their front seven's not good enough to get into that category. But I think they're good enough to win the division. I would say that.
Okay. I would have to agree with you. I'm a huge Packers fan, so I was just curious your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think top five. I mean, I think I think they're better than they were last year. I would say that, you know, but I do not think I can put them up that high. To me, this is the question mark on this team. And first of all, listen, Clay Matthews, as long as he doesn't get hurt, you've always got a chance. I mean, the guy is just unbelievable. But I'm looking at this team, and I'm looking at, you know, they're, as he just said, up front, you know, on the line, and, you know, their front seven. Wayne Larrabee was even saying he considered that a question mark. So I guess to answer your question, Eric, that's got to come through in a positive fashion for the Green Bay Packers to, you know, really be a Super Bowl contender.
Okay. I would have to agree with you there.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you very much. If you want to call the show, 339-1140, 800, you know, 920-1140. You know, we talked a little bit about the Hall of Fame with Wayne Larrabee, and, of course, the Hall of Fame inductions are going to be coming this weekend. And, you know, obviously headlined by Brett Favre. But, you know, I'm thinking about when I think of Brett Favre, I think of one of the great competitors in the history of the National Football League, and a guy that lined up every day. Unfortunately, I also think of a guy whose last pass ever in Green Bay was an interception in overtime that set up the game-winning field goal for the Giants to go to the Super Bowl. And I also think about the football 101 pass that he made with Minnesota right on the doorstep of going to the Super Bowl, and he threw across the body and it was picked off. I mean, I can't forget about those either. I mean, those are really two memories that are ones he'd like to erase. Chris in Sacramento, how are you?
I'm doing great, Grant. How are you doing?
Good,
today?
Good.
Hey, so I'm a big New York Giants fan, and I know you're going to be on with Victor Cruz tomorrow.
Yeah, he's going to be on at 10 o'clock.
Yes, I'll be listening for sure.
Thank you.
What do you think about the New York Giants this year? Because I feel like with the big money that they spend on the defensive end, I feel like they should have picked up some offensive end to help protect Eli a bit.
I agree with you. I think it may be Jerry Reese's, you know, may cost him his job. To me, the question mark with the Giants are their tackles, Flowers and Newhouse, particularly Newhouse as right tackle. And if they're not able to give Eli, I think the Giants have possibly the best weapons in the National Football League as far as wideouts if Victor Cruz can return to form, because they drafted Sterling Shepard out of Oklahoma, and they're raving about him every day. So that gives Eli Manning, you know, incredible targets down the field, but it doesn't do any good if you don't have time to throw the football.
Yes. One quick question before I get off here. Do you see them leading the division this year?
I do. I think that what they did on defense, particularly their pass rush, and then, you know, they spent draft picks on their secondary. Their defense, you know, first of all, the Giants lost, what, 4 games last year on the final play. So, yeah. I mean, they were a better team than the record indicates last year. But they will only win the division if the offensive line can play better than it looks right now. Especially the right tackle, Newhouse. That's the biggest concern. I'm not worried about Flowers as much. I think Flowers is fine. But I think Newhouse at right tackle could be a real problem for New York.
Yeah.
All right.
Super Bowl or
a
wild card?
I'm not ready to go Super Bowl yet. I can't pick anyone to go to the Super Bowl right now. I mean, I got to see games. I wouldn't say the Giants are going to the Super Bowl. You got to get into the playoffs first. You know, to me, their division's not that strong. I could see them winning the NFC East this year. The other unknown with the Giants, and we have no way of knowing, you know, you've got a new head coach in Ben McAdoo. Now, he comes over as the offensive coordinator, but I don't know how Ben's going to be as a head coach. That's an unknown as well. So, you know, I think all the teams in the NFC East, I don't think Philadelphia is that good. I think Dallas has got major concerns on the defensive side of the ball right now. And I don't know how you fix that, you know, at least for the first several weeks of the season. And then, you know, you have the injury-prone Tony Romo. We don't know how much of a what kind of hits he's going to be able to take on his collarbone. So, you know, to me, all of those things in the NFC East, very difficult to figure out, but I don't think Philadelphia is in the issue. That's my own take there. I just don't see that. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. We'll come right back. We'll talk some more football. Don't forget Charlie Casserly, NFL Network, former GM, will be on with me at 5 o'clock right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. I love talking about Lexus of Roseville and the Roseville Auto Mall. As a matter of fact, I was down there this afternoon, and I was looking at all of the 2016s and the Golden Opportunity sales event and how awesome it truly is. And I know because I took advantage of this great sales event last year, 12 months ago, leasing an RC 350 F Sport. All right? And, yeah, August is here. It's hard to believe, isn't it? And we're talking about an amazing Lexus family of remarkable and inspiring cars. We're talking about strong design cues, outstanding performance, and, of course, the legendary Lexus comfort amenities. Now, drive a new IS, ESGS, or LS sedan, and you'll see exactly what I mean. If performance and adrenaline are more you're liking, do what I did. Get the RC. It is awesome. And if you want to really, really quicken the pulse, go with the RCF. You will absolutely love it. And, hey, you know what? Lexus didn't forget about passengers. If you seek a more traditional SUV configuration, the NX, the RX, the GX, and the LX series of vehicles are a must-see consideration. It's all there for you at Lexus of Roseville. And don't forget to check out their CPO, which are the certified pre-owns, and the previously owned inventory, where even greater deals can be found. Folks, pursue perfection in driving a new Lexus today at Lexus of Roseville in the Roseville Auto Mall. Here, Roseville, think Lexus. All right, we are with you here up till 6:30, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Let's get to Kenny in Sacramento. Hi, Kenny.
Hey, Dylan. It was nice to hear Mr. Larrabee there. I'm a lifelong Packers fan. I don't get to hear his call very much.
He's great. He's a phenomenal announcer.
He really is. He's iconic, I think, in the sense that you hear his voice and you just immediately identify it with the Packers. And there's very few guys, I think, that are like that. I hear his voice on other calls every once in a while. I go, wait, this isn't a Packers game. And but always a lot of fun to hear his analysis, and thanks for having him on. I've it was funny you mentioned the game that Brett threw that interception against the Giants, because we went to that game, and that was brutal. I've never been through anything like that in my life.
It was at 20 below zero, wasn't it, with the wind chill that day?
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is there wasn't much wind. It was definitely quiet there. It was just, it was like a tomb. The sound just didn't carry. You could hear everything on the field. It was a very strange atmosphere. I've been to Lambeau a few times, but never like that.
Right.
And yes, there's one other thing about that you didn't mention, too, and I'm not piling on, because for many, many years he kept it very entertaining up there. But even the Super Bowl that they won in 96, he was not the MVP. Desmond Howard was.
That's correct. That's a very good point.
So, you know, it just shows Brett was way up and down. And lastly, I'll just say, I think for this year, it's great to have Jordy back. And, of course, Aaron's going to hopefully have a great year. But I think a lot still rides on Eddie Lacy, and he's going to be able to come back.
All right, let me ask you this question. And, we won't know the answer for a couple of years, but you're a longtime Packers fan. When it's all said and done, when Aaron Rodgers wraps up his career, do you think Packers fans will say Brett Favre was better or Aaron Rodgers?
Well, you know, Brett was always entertaining. I think Aaron took a while to come into his own. He was never really confident coming up from under the shadow of Brett, and he's not a natural leader. He's had to really grow into that role, but he's always been a little standoffish and, you know, just, that fame and the whole celebrity bit. He never really wanted it. So I think his legacy is still in his own hands, but he's got to win one or two more Super Bowls, at least get him to the front door. Otherwise, you have to say that Brett's numbers, you know, just his Iron Man capability carries the day for him, I think.
Well, his longevity, I mean, that's the one thing Brett Favre's got, the longevity. I mean, his consecutive streak as a starter was just unbelievable. But, yeah, I think they're, you know, obviously Aaron's going to be in the Hall of Fame someday, I believe. We know Brett's going in this weekend. And then, of course, you got Bart Starr, and, you know, he's a legend in Green Bay. But I was just asking because I think, you know, if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, I think he'll go down as the best quarterback to ever play for the Packers.
Well, I think the numbers certainly say that. His efficiency is just crazy, and some people might downgrade that for being too cautious and taking a lot of sacks rather than have those interceptions. I mean, I'd take a sack over an interception any day as just a fan.
Right.
But, you know, and it does inflate the numbers just a little bit. And the guy's precise. I mean, I would more compare him to a Joe Montana Jr. Rather than Brett Favre. So it's a little bit of apples and oranges.
Fair enough. Thank you very much, Kenny.
Adios.
All right, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. It's always subjective in nature. Sometimes people just look at Super Bowls, or they Brett's only got one. You look at Aaron, he's got one. You look at how many big games Aaron Rodgers has played in, how many Brett Favre's played in. Brett's played in many more. Of course, his career, obviously, much, much longer. I talked to Aaron up in Lake Tahoe recently, and he said he wants to play until he's 40. Now, you might think that's crazy, but Tom Brady just turned 39 today, and he's pretty good. So if you take care of yourself, then yes, you can play until you're 40. Absolutely. All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we'll talk with Charlie Casserly. More NFL talk, former general manager and the analyst for the NFL Network. 6 o'clock, we're going to talk with Jimmy Durkin. He is the Raiders beat writer for the Bay Area News Group. So, well, we'll talk some Raiders football as well. 49ers, again, I think we're looking at probably two weeks before we know the starting quarterback. I would think Chip Kelly's going to give these guys, you know, a real good look in the preseason games. And there's no rush. I mean, no one says you got to have a starting quarterback on August 3rd. Let him compete, both in practice and during the games, and go from there. You know, I was reading some reports of their practice yesterday. Two different people thought that, you know, Colin Kaepernick looked to be the better quarterback. I don't really put a lot necessarily into the practices. The coaches may, but I don't care how a guy does in practice. I really don't. It's what do you do on game day? You know, there have always been there have been so many quarterbacks that have looked great in practice and they can't throw the ball from, you know, me to you on a field. So I don't pay attention to that. You know, show me what you can do against a real defense where you don't know what they're going to be doing, where you don't know their tendencies. You know, show me that in a game situation. I've always looked at that. You know, if you're an NFL quarterback, you should look good in practice. They can't touch you. They can't knock you down. You should, and you know all the defensive players. You know what they do. You should look good in practice if you're a good quarterback in the NFL. You really should. I mean, after all, we're talking about the best quarterbacks in the world. That's why they're in the NFL. If you don't look good in practice, something's really wrong. I'll say that. All right, we'll come back. We'll take more phone calls at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. This is the Grant Napier Show. My thanks to Wayne Larrivee, the voice of the Green Bay Packers. We'll go around the National Football League with Charlie Casserly, former general manager and NFL Network analyst, as he has been going to different training camps every day. And then at 6 o'clock, Jimmy Durkin, the Raiders beat writer for the Bay Area News Group. We've got a lot of good things going on. We've got the pennant races in full swing, although not a lot of races that are of interest right now in Major League Baseball. We do have one in the NL West because of the Giants' recent slippage, but, you know, like last night, the Dodgers unable to make up any ground as they get destroyed by Colorado. But, you know, you look at the standings, and for more baseball talk tomorrow, I'm going to be hosting the Jim Rome Show. Dustin Pedroia is going to be joining me at 9:20 tomorrow morning, and the Red Sox are in Seattle. Actually, Dustin's got the had the day off, so they are on the West Coast. And, you know, you talk about that division, it is close. Baltimore's in first place by one game over Toronto and two games over Boston. Again, Boston's in Seattle tonight. And again, Pedroia does have the day off. Cleveland, their lead now because of the Tigers being red hot, all right, has been reduced to 4 in the loss column. Texas, 5.5 up on Houston. Washington has widened their lead to 7 games over the Marlins. The Cubs are running away in the NL Central, 9.5 game lead over St. Louis. And as we mentioned, the Giants lead the Dodgers by 2 games. So that's the story when you look at the standings in Major League Baseball. The Giants, of course, will take on the Nats this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And if you're looking at the Washington Nationals and the Giants, it was a very interesting series that we saw over the weekend where the Giants were able to win games 3 and 4 after a bad stretch in that Friday or the Thursday and Friday game. So anyway, we'll be with you right up until Oakland A's baseball at 6:30. But I think I speak for a lot of folks looking forward to the game coming up or the series this weekend in Washington, D.C. Again, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Now, the matchups, all right, we thought we would see Strasburg and Bumgarner, but because of the day off, we're not. So coming up on Friday, the matchups will have Gonzalez and Samardzija. Saturday, Strasburg and Kane. And Sunday, Rourke and Bumgarner. Those are your matchups as of right now. Now, the Washington Nationals just swept Arizona. And so they're going back. You know, they get a day off. Not a big deal to have a day off in baseball. It's good for your bullpen. But the point is, they're already in the air, and they're flying back home. But you can't be too crazy about that matchup on Saturday with Steven Strasburg and Matt Cain. And again, I don't know what type of Madison Bumgarner we're going to see. The guy's only 10-6, and he looked terrible last night. You know, and he threw a lot of pitches, and he's just did not have a good game. Did not have a good game at all. Samardzija, I mean, what's going on with him? He's 9-7 right now. He'll go against Gio Gonzalez. It's only three games, but you know you want to, you know you want to make sure you don't get swept here. Just make sure you win at least one game of the three. I'm not saying they can't win two and won't win two, but just make sure, you know, that you can take care of Philadelphia before you get into D.C. and you know win at least one game before you go to Miami. You know, and again, we talk about the Dodgers unable to capitalize last night, taking on a terrible Colorado team. I shouldn't say terrible, but obviously they're not very good. And, you know, I'm looking at the Dodgers, and you're looking at a team that makes moves just like we saw the Giants, you know, getting those two pitchers. They get Reddick, they get Hill. And now you look at a 7-3 loss last night. The Dodgers have Colorado tonight, and they'll wrap up the set tomorrow. And then they got to go home and take on Boston for three games. Then Philadelphia, then Pittsburgh, all at home. And then they go out on the road for seven games, at Philly, at Cincinnati, before coming home for the games that I talked about a day ago, the 23rd, the 24th, and the 25th against the Giants at Chavez Ravine. And then if you look towards September, they play the Giants at home on the 19th, 20th, and 21st. And then they're in San Francisco to wrap up the set or the season on the 30th, the 1st, and the 2nd. So a little interesting there for the Dodgers. All right, if you want to call 339-1140, that's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. If you want to talk baseball, football, anything else going on, again, Charlie Casserly, former general manager, and you see him on the NFL Network. He'll be coming on. We'll talk to him about his first week around the National Football League, some of the things that have stuck out to him, and we'll be doing that when we come back. I'll get his take as well on both the Raiders and the 49ers with the training camps continuing. Again, there is a game this weekend. We will see a game. Yes, we will. We'll see the Packers and the Colts. Now, I don't know if we'll see any starters, but we'll see. We'll see football. At least it will look like football, and we'll know that we are that much closer to the start of the National Football League season. Looking ahead, the Olympics start on Friday. If you were with me in the first hour, you probably heard my disgust at Team USA, both the men's and women's basketball team, staying on a luxury ocean liner. I just think that is a really bad look for the United States. It's just, you know, if you don't want to stay in the Olympic Village, go stay in a hotel, all right? Don't be staying in a luxury yacht with 250 armed guards, both on land and in the water, as security. And it's just a waste of money. It really is. It's a bad look. In my opinion, it's a bad look for Team USA in general, and it is a waste of money, even though it's being privately funded. So it's just a joke. It really is. I wonder what the security cost for the duration of the Olympics to have 250, you know, armed guards both on the land and in the bay. I wonder what that costs. I wonder what that security is costing. Just to play basketball games. Are we really spending that kind of money for a team in the Olympics? I mean, are we not getting carried away here? Have we not lost our freaking minds and our sense of what's right and what's not right? I mean, come on now. Just, you know, I'll use the term gaudy, bad look, call it whatever you want. That does not sit well with me. I think that is flat out wrong. I can't imagine that the other American athletes look at those, you know, athletes that are playing on the men's and women's team and don't have some negative thoughts, because I sure as hell would, I'll tell you that. All right, you're not good enough. Excuse me, you're too good to stay in the Olympic Village, and now you're too good to stay in a hotel, so you got to go out and get a luxury yacht. Now, I understand it's not the players here. The players do not make their travel arrangements. They don't make their lodging arrangements. I get it's not the players. All right, it's the whole mentality of that whole sport as it relates to the Olympics. And that's the problem I have with it. I think they've lost their sense of what they're really trying to do here. All right, we get the fact now. All right, you made your point. We know that the United States has the best basketball in the world. We get that. We know that. You made your point. I'm on board with that. All right? after Argentina beat the United States, you know, getting Jerry Colangelo and Coach K, and I get that. All right, we've made our point. We know that the United States has the best basketball in the world. No one's arguing that. Stay in a hotel, would you please? Stay in a hotel. It's just a bad look. All right, we'll come back. Charlie Casserly to talk NFL football next here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Hey, I want to talk to you about Sleep Train, your ticket to a better night's sleep. Their triple choice sale going on now, but it ends soon. That's right, Sleep Train's triple choice sale ending soon, where you can save up to $300 on Beautyrest and Posturepedic mattress sets. Choice number two, get $300 in sleep essentials with any Tempur-Pedic. Or choice three, get up to 4 years interest-free financing on Beautyrest Black Hybrid, a Sleep Train luxury exclusive. You can call 866-780-6220 for credit cost and terms, subject to credit approval. Hey, you will get the guaranteed lowest price with Sleep Train's 100-day low price guarantee. Plus, start sleeping better as soon as tonight with same-day delivery when you purchase by 2 p.m. I want to tell you that Sleep Train's triple choice sale ends soon, so you don't want to miss it. Sleep Train, your ticket to a better night's sleep.